Morning Brew is presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. You'll have the time of your life.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Got a good cup of Joe here at Sam's Club 3. And Evans Breakfast Club downtown, 14th and Curse. Rip is here. He's got a whole table set up as he's getting all his work done.
By the way, I know nobody wants to hear this. I'm upbeat in spite of getting home last night at 1:35 in the morning.
You are remarkably upbeat.
Yeah.
Remarkably upbeat.
So I should be cranky, but look at me, people. I've put a sunshiny face on.
Well, Sean Payton didn't try to put a positive spin on yesterday's 17-16 loss to the Raiders. Hey, it's all about figuring out how to win these close games.
Our league's going to be every weekend. You know, the exception is the games that aren't close, really. And so, you know, playing in these one-score games, you know, at the end, trying to get a stop, trying to use the time. Obviously, it was frustrating. They were able to run the clock out. You know, that third down conversion, obviously, with the penalty behind it was disappointing. And then we had our opportunities offensively as well. So, you know, those close games aren't going away. That's kind of our league.
It is our league.
Yeah.
And that's what leaves me so frustrated, because I was really pinning my hopes on the idea that with all the one-score games that they lost last year, that if they found themselves in one-score games this year, the presence of Sean Payton would make a difference. But yet, at the end of that game, when it was winning time, they get the ball with about 6.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. They go 3-and-out on offense. And then their defense goes out on the field and can't get the Raiders off the field. The Raiders end up closing out the game. So,
yeah.
Right away in the first opportunity for us to see Sean Payton make a difference in one of these close games, he doesn't.
Right. Well, the decision. I mean, we've talked about the decisions, all the correct decisions over the course of the offseason. Right now, the one that looks like a bad decision was Will Lutz. And I'm sorry, I'm not trying to pin this on Will Lutz, because the bottom line is the Raiders drove right down the field. They would have been able to kick a field goal. Their kicker would have made it, and we'd have lost anyway, right, if it was a 17-17 ball game. So I'm not going to blame it all. I don't hang the 55-yarder on Will Lutz. That's a, you know, I mean, that's one that you...
Here, you got to make 55-yarders.
I get it. I think anywhere you got to make 55-yarders in today's game, but it's not an easy kick. You know, it's probably a 60% type of kick, but you'd like to see him make those. He had the leg for it, but, you know, I don't have a lot of empathy or sympathy for kickers. All you do is kick, right? When everybody else is on the practice field hitting and busting their ass, you're over there playing kicking games. Let me see if I can kick the pylon. Let me see, you know, little punts. You have to make those kicks. So that part, you know, that part, if you want to criticize Sean for one thing, it's, you know, it's what you've done with the kicker. And I'm not even pointing to Brandon McManus. I don't have any problem with moving on from Brandon McManus. But you damn well better get a kicker in here in altitude. I mean, I don't want to hear that he was kicking 70-yarders before the game. Who gives a rip? I want guys that can... I don't need guys that can just block in practice. I want dudes that guys can block in the games.
Next on the Morning Brew, the Broncos only had 6 drives in the entire game. They scored on 3 of them, but Russell Wilson lamenting the ones that got away.
I think the biggest thing is just collective effort as a whole team. Just, you know, I think it takes, you know, all of us. We're excited about, you know, who we are and where we're going to be, you know. And I think the biggest thing is continuing to push. You know, it's got another opportunity next week. We've got to come back ready to swing and go get a win.
That 3-and-out with 6.5 left in the game.
Uh-huh. Take me through that 3-and-out.
Well, okay, they started Javonte Williams thrown for a 1-yard loss. Wilson incomplete pass. 3rd and 11 to Troutman. By the way, you know, you always get on these tight ends that can't block break tackles.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. That was Noah Fant-esque.
Shallow cross, and then he stopped. Instead of just trying to run to the corner, to the pylon, so to speak, to the yard marker, he was going to try to it's important to know what your skill set is.
That's right.
Not your skill set, dude. Your skill set is not, let me juke somebody down. You know, your skill set better be, well, maybe he does know his skill set. I can't run fast enough to make that edge. Maybe that's his skill set. I don't know, but
Does Albert O get to the edge?
Albert O's not in at that point because he might have to accidentally block somebody.
You and your blocking. Anyway, it's 4th and 3. It's 4th and 3 at their own 32.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you got the 2-minute warning. You got a couple of timeouts. Was it the right decision to punt there?
Absolutely.
Or should they have gone for it?
Absolutely. Absolutely the correct decision to punt. You still had 5+ minutes with your 2-minute warning. Did they have two or three timeouts?
Two timeouts.
So, yeah, 100%. You should have got that ball back with at least, even if they were just managing the clock at that point, you would have gotten that ball back with the 2-minute warning, and you may not have had timeouts, but you had about 2:20 with the 2-minute warning left on that clock.
You need to go down and get a field goal.
Right. I mean, it's 5-5, 5 seconds, call a timeout, 5 seconds, call a timeout. You may not call those timeouts, right? So let's say 40 seconds. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, then you call a timeout, you still have what? I mean, you're into the 3-minute mark somewhere, right? I can't do the math.
Yeah, let's stop right there. I
had 3 hours of sleep, but people.
Mad.
If your defense is worth a spit, you get off the field.
Right.
And they just couldn't.
Would it be easier for me if it was a 50-second clock instead of a 40?
Probably not. Next on the Morning Brew, Deion Sanders on what was an incredible, incredible day. Starting at 4 a.m., the students were out, and it just rolled throughout the course of the day as the Huskers go down to the Buffs.
I'm driving over to the set for the Big Noon kickoff. It was phenomenal, just feeling the energy of the student body as well as the fan base here was unbelievable. That was my first time. We know we didn't get to really feel it in the spring because it was snow. I didn't want to go out there, and it was cold, so you know I didn't really get to feel it, but we felt it today.
Mark, I'm curious. You being out in our nation's capital this weekend.
I talked about it on my game.
People are
I talked about
the biggest story in sports.
I was right calling now. Arizona at Washington, the atmosphere in Washington. I actually called them the Redskins once. And I it was completely accident. I apologize. But that's what the atmosphere was like. Riggins was there. Sonny Jurgensen was there. Billy Kilmer was there. Art Monk was there. Joe Theismann was there. Mark Mosley was there. Champ Bailey was there. Clinton Portis was there. I was there. Maybe I didn't count. But,
of course,
I mean, there was.
You're a hog.
Yeah. There were so many guys there. And the atmosphere, people are just going bonkers.
Right.
They're going bonkers. And it's very much like what's going on in our nation's capital in regards to football. It's kind of like what's going on up in Boulder, man. People are jazzed. They're back.
Next on the Morning Brew, Shador Sanders, how now, all of a sudden, it just took two games. CU needs to adjust to now being the favorites.
Getting a second win, grateful, appreciative of it. But, you know, whenever you coming off a high, like, as in, we went in, everybody's talking about us and stuff like that, we got to be able to lock in and stay focused. So that's really where the second game came in, to where we're able, okay, we won. Everybody's talking about Colorado. Everybody don't believe us. Now they're believing and stuff like that. So now we got to be consistent.
So you get CSU this week. Buffs are a 3-touchdown favorite. Sorry, Rammies. That's not going to be your time. We will have that game, by the way, for you here on the Fan, CSU and CU. But then you're looking at 3-0.
Uh-huh.
And then as juicy as it gets, at Oregon, home against USC. And this is where you make your statement that, hey, we're not just here to, you know, win 3 or 4 or 5 games. We're here to compete for the Pac-12 championship in its last season. Let's go.
Well, you're going to get obviously, you can't overlook or you can't look beyond CSU.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No, Mike.
In this case, you can.
Rams are very sneaky.
Rams. Yes, you can.
They're very, very.
Yes, you can.
You can't look beyond.
Yes,
it.
You can.
You got to throttle them.
I am.
Okay.
Okay.
Then you get Bo Nix. Bo Nix can come down there and Bo Nix do Bo Nix things. I throw the ball down the corner of the end zone. That's what Bo Nix does. So, I don't know if he talks that way, but
you're starting to get punchy.
No, I love it.
I love it.
A guy from like the Carolinas named Bo Nix talked like that. He's gonna go down there and throw me a touchdown. Moving to west.
That's North Carolina. I'm thinking more Phillip Rivers, North Carolina. But yeah, you know, same.
Well, whatever. Auburn. He was at Auburn.
He was at Auburn.
Okay, yes. That's what my Southern Auburn. Bo Nix, and go down and do Bo Nix time.
Yes, that's exactly how it
I'm sure he sounds exactly like that.